We're going to read in two different places, and maybe the Lord will open this up. But as you can imagine, it's going to be really hard to preach after going through all this. But we're going to get it done because the Lord's called us to preach. And we're going to first, let's just go ahead and so put this in proper context, because, see, I can remember somebody seeing that very thing and saying, well, you ought to come to and talk to this person or this or that. We just need to put it in the proper context of how it was done in times past, because it didn't always go down that way, right? You can look in the 3rd John. Now, if you think about this, John had already wrote 2 epistles, and he wrote this third book of John, and I don't even know why they called it a third book of John. It just didn't make it a chapter, other than it was a letter. And because it was a letter, and that these books in the Bible were letters, they separated that. And we could easily read the 14 verses, because there's only 14 verses. And he opens up and he speaks about his well-beloved Gaius, and then it goes on to say in the 8th verse, it says, "We therefore ought to receive such as we might be fellow helpers to the truth." And then in the 9th verse, he says, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Now, can you imagine for a minute here? It don't sound like that John had a conversation with Diotrephes, but Diot was opposed to the work that the Lord was trying to do within the context of this letter that John made. And he goes on and talks about Demetrius. And I know that when that letter was read, and it come out, and that Diotrephes stood direct in conflict to the things of God, not only then John alluded to the fact, do that which is good, do that which is true, and don't do that which is evil. It was canonized. I could have looked up the date when it was, but it was sealed in time that the decisions that Diotrephes was doing, no matter what his intentions was, he withstood the work of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do that. I don't know about you, but if my loved ones here in Lackley County here a spirit-filled message from a hillbilly preacher, I don't know where else he might go in our county. I'm not telling you that we're the only way, but I'm telling you, if we muddy the water, if we pollute the well that we drink out of, do you realize that's what the Philistines did to the Israelites several times? They go and they poison the well. The well my children are supposed to drink out of. The well your children are supposed to drink out of. The well of those that we love and yearn to be in here. They're going to be the ones that'll drink of that water, and they'll not find healing. Oh God. But what they'll find is hatred and dissension. And honey, don't turn this and internalize it all, but be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you want to turn there, we can turn there. And it says here in 2 Timothy in the third chapter, it says, of this know also, that in the last days, a perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate according concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as their also, as theirs also was. Listen, as we've already stated, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Listen, a double-minded man ain't got it hid from nobody. Everybody they come into contact with knows it and sees it. But it ain't only that they are unstable. You don't know where they're going to stand and what they're going to stand for. But they say one thing and they do another. The Bible says to be instant in season and out of season. We ought to be a roadmap to the world instead of being here 1 minute and somewhere else the next. We need to get in or we need to get out. It's time and high time that we don't let these things so easily beset us. The Bible says, lay every weight in the sin that besets us. We've got a weight around our neck and you can't swim. You've been trying to tread water, but it ain't working out. And we see this because we love you, and we see it year after year, decade after decade. We ought to do like that song our daughter sang. There ought to be a change, a lasting change. And I'm sorry if you think that somehow Dale don't understand me. Well, you don't need to think it. I don't understand you. This world is a confusing place to live, but I don't have to understand you. But there is one that knows me better than I know myself. There is one that knows me better than my wife. There is one that knows me better than the body of Christ. But let us not be deceived. My wife, my children, and the body of Christ sees me for who I am. I can use words. Oh, but a double-minded man says something 1 minute and does something opposite the next. I'm truly confounded when we war and we fight over the temporal. The Lord's coming back. The door of mercy shut in. We have loved ones lying to our face. And when we reach out to them, and they say this is not true. We read it. There is a sign of the times. I want to tell you something. The truth will be known. It'll be revealed. And it's been being revealed. And before we can repent, we need to see ourselves as the sinner we are. Listen to me now. It does not matter if I I sinned 20 years ago. Listen, I cannot perform any good deed that'll overcome that sin. There is no limitation. Bless your heart. And when we have generational sin destroying our hopes, there is no defense in saying that was a long time ago. Where we find victory is when we lay down that weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Then the Bible says elsewhere, if I be lifted, this was Jesus talking, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all in. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we lay something down, we need to pick something up. It's time and high time. We quit laying it down only to be found empty. Just the next week, or a month from now, or 6 months, or a year. We love every one of you. Oh, but time's going to run out. There's people that are desperately in need of salvation. And the way they find it is seeing salvation living in us. We can point the finger. We can do the whataboutism all we want to, but it don't work with me. Because listen, Braden, if I sin against you, honey, I want you to know that you just coming to me. I won't tell you. I didn't mean it. I won't tell you that, well, that was 20 years ago. I'll say, won't you pray with me? I love you. I want to kiss your cheek in heaven. Oh, God, my heart is heavy. We hear it week after week. Oh, save my children. We're the one. The Bible said, Jesus said to the lawyers, oh, yeah. You ain't going to enter in. And those that would, you hinder. Oh, I'm telling you, there is a problem when all of our loved ones are turning their back and we ain't burdened enough to come to the altar when the Lord speaks to us. You say, no, I don't know. Or I'm sorry, how do you know the Lord speaks to me? How dare you judge me? I know this, that the Lord answers my prayer, and I see things, and I hear things, and I ain't talking about, it ain't gossip, honey, when you hear it with your own ear. It ain't gossip, is it, Braden? You see me get in a car with another woman at Walmart. That ain't gospel. The Bible says, will there be two or three witnesses? Right. Amen. How is there two or three witnesses? Oh, why didn't they come to me? Because there is a sin that's so ever so slow, so filled of bitterness and envy and hate that you're unapproachable. But I still got to love you, and I still got to pray for you. And so how are two or three witnesses able to come together? They come together burdened and said, have you seen the decision that so-and-so's making? We all know what it is. Oh, when the Lord is dealing with your heart, young ladies, what are you doing? Well, you sir, you're stirred. Get the little skirt shorter. What are you doing, man? Well, you spend a little bit more time playing video games. I don't need to know your prayer life. I don't need to know how many times you prayed this week. Oh, but when you laid something down and you start picking it up, whether it convicted me or not, I know that you're warning. And I pray that the Lord speaks to you. And the Lord does. And I don't know why so many people want to quit before they even get started.
breaks my heart. I don't know how to change of the dynamics of families outside of sin. Lay it down. Lay the weight down. And pick up Jesus. And then lift Him up to your lost and dying. You ought not to have to defend me among brothers in Christ. You ought to start testifying. You say, "Dad, I did." Let me tell you something. At some point, we're casting pearls before swine. And you better beware lest they turn and they rend you. Even the swine couldn't stand the evil presence of the demons when they were cast out of Legion. Yet we still are trying our dead little best. Well, maybe what we need to do is not accept Him, but to show them the truth. Because here's the blunt truth of it. If every time you see your lost friend, you begin to tell them about Jesus, they're going to avoid you. Amen. You can blame it on me, and you can blame it on my preaching. You can blame it on the youngins. You can blame it on your mama. You can blame it on this one. You can blame it on that one. But it ought to be because you wouldn't shut up with the truth. But unfortunately, there is some that want a pew here that think the best way to win somebody to Christ is to lie to them, to tell them things that ain't so, to present it in such a way so that they can build the confidence up of somebody. I'm wanting to tell you something. When we have troubles in the church, praise the Lord. Bless His holy name. It reveals our heart. Whether we be Christ-like or not. Whether we love the Lord or not. It reveals it all. Amen. Just like about a year ago, we was going to have a foot washing. And we postponed it for one thing and then another. But the elders of the church understood that you keep on pushing it off and you won't have it. And then we thought to ourselves, we'll just go ahead and have it anyway. But some were going to be gone. Listen to me now. And it was like you cut off somebody's arm. It revealed to everyone that sat in the pew. I didn't have to go whisper. I didn't have to go and get on top of the house and shout it. It revealed to everybody that there was some had no business washing feet nohow. Why? Because they didn't have enough love for the brotherhood to say, "Amen, I can't attend, but my prayers will be with you." Or, "Well, all right, I'll do my best." And it reveals what our motivations are. Because our motivations ought not to be, see how many people's feet I can wash at the foot washing. Our motivations ought to be to be Christ-like, to lift Jesus up, to lay down the weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and walk the race, run the race with patience. And so we see it over again. Instead of saying amen, there's those that say, "Oh, me. Well, honey, I love you dearly, but things ain't right." When it's our knee-jerk reaction to think the worst of something instead of the best, there is none, bless your heart, none that'll tarry as long as we have tarried. But thanks be to God that though His mercy endures forever, there comes a point that every one of us is going to have to decide, are we going to be a member of the body of Christ, or are we going to be at the edge waiting for the Lord to stir the water? Listen, that man could have been content. Had it worked in the past? Well, by all accounts, according to the Scripture, when Jesus walked by, they asked this man if he wanted to be healed. And what'd he say?
He said, well, yes. Oh, but every time that the angel stirs the water, and I'm trying to get down there as crippled as I can, I'm trying to crawl a little closer. Somebody beats me to it. Oh, yes, I want to be healed. And then Jesus said to him, well, I am right. This ain't exactly what he said to him, but he is a resurrection and the life. You can continue to wait for the water to be stirred, or you can pick up Christ. Listen, every one of us ought to be looking inward and not trying to determine, like somebody left, what's Daryl trying to tell me. I ain't trying to tell you nothing. I'm just doing my job. But the Holy Spirit wants you to have victory. The Holy Spirit wants you to speak the truth and not say one thing and then do another. But let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Oh, but Daryl, listen, I'm preaching to me as well as I'm preaching to you. Bless your heart. You think for 1 minute that you're waiting for Daryl to preach a message that don't hit Daryl before you have to start listening. Well, listen, there ain't very many messages at all that I don't have to pray about beforehand or right at it. I'm praying right now. Oh, God, help Daryl to be the Christian he needs to be in these last days that we're living in. God, give me the grace, give me the boldness, so that when Diotrephes comes and withstands the work of the Lord, that I won't be afraid of it, because that's just it. We need to get behind God. Amen. We need, listen to me now, souls are at stake, and if you ain't going to pray for them and for your loved ones, and yet you expect me to, I've got my own, and I pray for yours too. Listen to me. It's time and high time that we all pray for one another and look to the Lord. But listen, we not only have to lay the weight down, it's a weight people's picked up over and over again, Braden. They couldn't carry it. You ain't going to be able to carry it either. You got to lay it down, honey. We got to look to Jesus. Oh, but I tell you what, you just lift him up. Oh, if you just listen to the Lord. Yes, listen to God. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And might I be so bold, even in the day that we live in, listen to the church. He's placed you in it, and he's placed it over you, and God put it there, not so that we can have a difference of opinion, but that when we have a difference of opinion, that the body of Christ comes together and we agree. Because lest we agree, you'll not grow in the Lord. You'll get colder and you'll get colder and you'll get colder. And so then, when we do wrong, we'll look at the wrong of others. When we do right, what do? We look at the wrong of others. Oh, when we get praise, we'll look at the wrong of others. It's a filthy sickness. It'll rot you out. Your guts will be in your shirt instead of behind your belly. And it'll stench putridly, and then you'll wonder why the body of Christ is abstained from you. By their fruits, the Bible says, you shall know them. Some sin goes before them. Others follow behind. Right? And then some good deeds go before them. And you know whether there be good deeds. I can't remember where that's at. We had it marked in our Bible.
them and we left here. But I want you to know that I'm looking for good deeds. I really am. I'm hoping and praying that there's some that every good deed they do, they take it away with some self-centered act or some woe is me. I didn't get this, or I wanted that, or they should have cared for me, or they should have seen my position. Listen, I ain't your burden bearer. The Lord is, and He'll bear it with you. Come to me, and we'll go together with to Jesus. But there's a reason why when we're offended, we talk and we go to others instead of going to the Lord. We should have done to know to do good and to do it not to Him and His sin. It's us all, Lindsay. There ain't one of us that can't say, woe is me, and amen at the same time. But the problem is, there are those that want to look across the way and say, that's that one. That's his fault. That's their fault. But a double-minded man says things and don't even care what he says. Elam, my boss, was talking about that very thing. He said something, I can't remember exactly what it was. I said, that's why you're getting riding. Right? You know, I used to sell bulls. I'd give a guarantee. But I was bad not to put it in writing. But the guarantee was is that I guaranteed him to be fed and to be fertile for a year. And now the next guy come, I didn't come to tell him any difference. So that's pretty simple. He'll be fed and fertile for a year. You bring him back. And if he's too far away, I sold bulls 5 hours or more away from him. I said, if he ain't fit and fertile, I said, you sell him at the sale barn and send the check to me and I'll make up the difference what you paid. And or send a picture of the check and I'll make up the difference. But we got into some trouble there. And it's like, you send me the check and then I'll pay you full price for him. Because there was some that wanted me to drive 5 hours and pick up a bull that ain't no good. I ain't got no use for a bull that ain't no good. But the point being is that we were talking and Elam said, well, he knows somebody. I can't remember what they said 2 years ago. And I said, well, obviously, it didn't mean as much to him as it meant to you, right? That's how it is sometimes. Have you ever been, me and Ron talk about this a lot. We've always been looking for that angle, some way to make money on the farm. See, you ain't got to work a full-time job or some kind of revenue source. When you got a big family, and they're always looking for that, ain't we? But here's the problem. Sometimes you can make money at it, but you can make part-time wages on a full-time job, and you discover that, and you say, "Well, I can make money if I just tell it a little longer." Well, I did that many a time. There's one time I was working 2.5 jobs. Why? Just to get ahead. But the point of all that is that we can work and work and work and say, here's somebody say something. And it matters to us dearly because it's the next ideal that's going to make our broken system work. And we hear it and we say, that'll work. And we try it only to discover it don't work at all. And then we say, don't you remember when you told me this? Man don't remember it at all. He was just faking off the cuff. He was just philosophizing. He was just repeating something he'd read. But it carried much more weight with us than it did with him. And that's why we need to get it in writing. And looky right here, look how pretty that Bible is. This is where we find the answers to our life. Don't listen to me. Get it in writing. And it's the Holy Word of God. And it has the answer right there.
And so, when we struggle, and when it's evasive, I can remember, and this ain't about none of you all, I can remember when somebody, well, we'll make it about somebody here. We'll make it about me. I can remember when I was growing up, my dad, he had an accident. He had several right there all together, and it shipwrecked his faith. Nobody wanted to listen to him when he preached. Everybody was contentious, and they wanted to take on the new modern way of living, and he was trying to preach the old-timey way, and he got low, and then he lost his health, and it's like the old, I think it was Patton that said, that fatigue makes a coward of us all. And you take a Christian that's strong in the Lord, and you take his health away, and not only will he be weak in body, but he'll be weak in faith, especially if he ties his health to the condition of his salvation. But that's what makes the story of Job so special. His courage was so rare. We've seen it over and over again. And he was in dire need of a touch of the Master's hand more than one way, wasn't he, Mama? But there was days that he could have went to church. There was times, I can remember one in particular, I don't know what was going on in his life, but he was still having the health problems that he did. He'd been out of church for months, maybe even years at that point. But do you remember, Mama, he was getting ready to go to church, and it was a little icy outside, and I was so happy. And my father, I was getting away, unlike it was now, where the service is. We're on the internet. I was getting away. I couldn't taste him. I couldn't hardly even remember. Jubal, you mentioned it. He's got a pitch. He's got a tempo that I can't really say. Maybe you can tell me. I don't know of anybody that preaches squat like Herbert Donald Hensley. But I'd heard this one and that one, and it went so long that I started forgetting what it was like. I thought, will I ever hear my daddy preach again? He's going to church. He's going to church. I tried. I didn't want to make it because it was things. And not because, my mama, she cried out his name in prayer. Many a time. But there were those at our church that he was the one that you just didn't speak about. Yes, they'd request prayer for him. He had a lot of health problems. That's all he wanted to address. But he needed a touch. He needed to lay down the weights and the sin and lift up Jesus. But he was broken. He was tired. And so I can remember that Sunday morning. I just wanted to jump out of my skin. But I knew, didn't want to. I don't even remember where I was in my spiritual growth. But I didn't want to jinx it. We're a superstitious people, ain't we? Instead of praying to the Lord, don't act like it's too big a thing, or he'll overthink it too much, and think everybody else will think it's a big thing. No, he was getting ready for church, and I was just waiting. I knew he'd come out of the bedroom and said, I'm just not feeling good enough. But he put on his shoes. He put on his church shoes. He had his church clothes on. And he was going to church, and he went outside and slipped on the ice right there at the door of the car. I tell you what, I'm telling you, some things ain't just meant to be. But that ain't the end of the story, is it? Glory to God. My mama was faithful. Even when I weren't faithful, my mama prayed. Even when I didn't pray. Listen, the Bible speaks about that. With it be two, they can go. When one falls, the other can lift them up. Oh, it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. But I'm telling you, when the one that goes with you is your enemy, it's better to be all alone. Oh, but the Bible tells me, if I lay down my sin and the way that so easily besets me, and I lift up Jesus, I'm never alone. Oh, and the higher I lift Him up, the more will come to Him. And I'll never be alone. Oh, but we got to walk the faith. Walk the walk. And walk in the faith. And believe Jesus. And lay all pretenses down. Right? And when things come and throw us a curve, oh, we won't curse. And we won't throw a fit. But we'll say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how and what is going to go down in this revival. But the Lord is the revealer of secrets. Amen. I like what it says. I think it's beautiful. Listen, the Bible says here, if some would question why I did or what I did in the past or what I'm doing right now, the Bible says in the 27th chapter of Proverbs and the second verse, this is, listen, if you will listen, this is the key to your victory for once and for all. It says, let another man, in the second verse, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. To be quite frank, there's some people that the only praise you'll ever get is from a stranger. Because as soon as they get to know you, they'll say, woe is me. Let's read a little farther. It says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We live in a society. We love this one woman dearly. We love her mother too. But we was communicating our deep concern for her daughter. And you know what? I said, I was always concerned for her. I said, when I seen how she has such a fragile mind, I said, how she always is at the threshold of depression. And she says, you don't even know my daughter. My daughter's one of the happiest people I know. And I thought, thus the reason why she has a fragile mind. Because her mother didn't have enough sense to know that. And we'll read it again. It's beautiful what was said. Did you hear what it said? It said, open rebuke is better than secret love. It goes on then to say, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And that mother was so, she could not come to grips with her own daughter's instabilities, that she presented it to herself as something different, and that her child was happy. And she no doubt told her child, be happy, and you ought to be happy, and you should be happy, and you're happy. Now be happy. Oh, but it was all deceitful. It was all, as it were, kisses. And so we found out, and just here recently, she went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said basically those very same things. But I'm afraid that her mother has so thoroughly convinced her otherwise. that a clinical psychologist will not be able to reach her. Here's the beauty of it. Clinical psychologists can't save nobody. But listen, if you fall on your face before God and repent of your sins, that's where it starts. But you can't just lay it down without picking something up. You got to pick up Jesus. You not only got to pick Him up and carry Him in your close to your heart. Oh, but when troubles come, when you're surrounded by the enemy, oh, you lift Him up. And it'll draw those that are born again. It'll draw those that need to be born again. It'll draw those that are receptive to the gospel. But the rest of them will flee. I'm afraid we are one among many in a crowd. And they're all going to hell. And we think to ourselves, I'll tell them the truth. But the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Kind of like a drunkard, rocking to and forth, but even worse. Why? Because he says one thing, and then he does another. He says you need Jesus, and then flees from Him. He says you need to be born again, and he's living in his old sin, and he's worse than the worst hypocrite. Why? Because he's the poster child to a lot within his crowd that this is a Christian, but it ain't. Why? Because a Christian don't only lay down the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. The Holy Spirit's revealed it to us all. There ain't no getting around it. But He also bears Christ. He bears the reproach. He wears His robe. And He lifts up the cross. And when you do that, you can find victory in Jesus. And your old friend won't be a friend no more. But it'll be alright. Because a threefold cord, the Bible says, cannot be easily broken. It don't need to be me and you and Jesus. But if it's me and you and Jesus, we're going to get somewhere. But if it's me and you and the devil, we're all going to hell. Oh, but if all my friends leave me, it can be me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's even better than a threefold cord. Let me tell you something. And it won't be broken. As long as we hold on to the hand of God, I believe we're done. Let's get some song to sing. It's time and high time that each and every one of us realize that time's running out. We need to quit playing at the edge of the water. We need to wait and quit waiting for somebody that meets our approval to stir the waters. Listen, every man of God ain't much different than me. We're all sinners in need of a Savior that was broken, that come to Jesus Christ and said, here be the pieces, put me back together. He said, will you preach my word? I'll say, I'll do my best, but my best ain't good enough. So I fall on my knees and I pray and I say, oh God, Lord, let me not stir the waters, but send Jesus by. And if Jesus comes by, well, then that will be the very thing that we need. Let's stand. We'll sing Amazing Grace. Praise His holy name.